Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Megan Cullop, along here with Scott Micklin.
Good morning. It is Thursday, April the 8th, 2021. How about that?
How about that? How about that? Spring has sprung.
Spring has definitely sprung. We are at week 56?
This week, no, 57. I think it's 57.
We'll wait for calendar confirmation.
Queen. Come on.
If it's out there. But anyway, we're 52 plus. We know that.
Definitely that.
We know that. So
definitely that.
Welcome, everybody, to our COVID-19 Community Information Program. We present it every Thursday here live on our social media platforms, which is, of course, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. And then, of course, on the radio station at 5:06 p.m. every afternoon and on KSJE.com at 5:06 p.m. and also on KNMI Radio at noon. So we're glad that you're with us. We've got some great guests lined up to talk to us today. Carmen Martinez, Small Business Development Center, talking about new business opportunities from the latest stimulus package that was passed by Congress and signed by President Biden. Tanya Stinson about travel with COVID or without COVID. Avoiding COVID, all those
traveling
things.
During the time of COVID.
That's what I was trying to say.
Yes.
Thank you. And then Jim Walton from the Department of Health calling in about the New Mexico Notify app, and he'll be talking a little bit about that and how it's been designed, and got some questions about privacy to ask him. And
yes.
So anyway, all that stuff is coming up on the program today. So we're glad that you are with us, everybody, to join us. So thank you for tuning in.
Yes, as always.
As always. And the big story has to be the map.
The map is a big story.
Right?
This is breaking news.
Kind of is breaking news.
Yeah.
As of last night. And I know folks maybe have not seen the map, but this is the latest map. Every 2 weeks, of course, the state updates the COVID-19 map, the red to green to turquoise map. And, of course, San Juan County was enjoying turquoise for the last several weeks. And then in the latest map, we have regressed back to yellow.
I know. We skipped over green.
Yeah. And so we went back to yellow, and that means that a lot of businesses are now restricted again to only having, I think, 33% for businesses. And so that is another thing that they need to follow. And the numbers, if you can read that, it's kind of small print there, but our test positivity rate, again, was at 3.16%, so that was still good.
Yeah.
But the cases per 100,000 went up to 9.3, and it needed to be less than 8 to at least get to green or to stay at turquoise. And so we didn't do that.
Right. This is a very difficult process, not just the back and forth, but
right.
New questions arising regarding should we be factoring in vaccination because these cases will be less severe. I mean, that's one argument that you hear. Another one is, where does the 8 and 100,000 number come from? Which is, I think, a worthy question to ask.
Right.
Next week, we're supposed to have maybe some more map expert types on.
We're working on it.
We're working
exactly.
on it. So that would be a worthwhile question, I think, because part of it has to do with the ROI, which is the rate of infection. And at one point, the rate of infection for COVID was 1 to 3. So every one person with it could spread it to 3 other individuals. And different diseases have different rates of infection. So anyway, so that's just to say that anytime this happens, there's new questions that arise. And our vaccine rate is very, very high in this county.
Right.
We talked last week about how we've moved into the last phase, which means that everybody 16 and older is eligible. So
right. As a matter of fact, I called up the vaccine map. Did
you
know that
are.
There's a vaccine map
I
for
didn't.
Our state?
What a perfect segue.
What
does the map tell us?
There you go. It shows us that, again, the levels of dark green to lighter green. And so San Juan County is 41% of San Juan County residents have at least one dose of the vaccine. And then 31% of San Juan County residents are fully vaccinated. And it also shows that 25% of San Juan County residents have registered with the state to get the vaccine. So we have some work to do with that.
We do have some work to do with that. So that's part of the reason why we get the word out.
Exactly.
I know DOH yesterday vaccinated 48 people, which is significantly lower than what they're used to doing. So,
right.
You know, and the other side of this is just because we get tired of something doesn't mean that something has gone away. So
right.
We've become used to it. We've become apathetic towards it. So vigilancy is hard now that we're in week 57 or whatever we are. So.
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, and we keep hearing about, you know, herd immunity, right? And so, you know, that would be when enough people are vaccinated or have had COVID or resistance to COVID, whatever, right? To be able to then allow us to maybe do more of the things we consider normal and gather again and things like that. And that is a pretty high percentage, if I remember correctly from our interviews with the doctors, like 75-80%,
yeah.
Right?
Herd immunity is a very high percent. Yeah.
And so if we're only at
47.
Right. We're only halfway there.
Yeah.
So, and I think I saw a story this morning that Great Britain, England, was going to be at herd immunity by Monday.
Really?
Really. Yes.
Well, that is...
Are you shocked that I read or that I'm sharing this news? Or both?
Both.
Okay.
I'm excited for Britain.
Okay.
Hats off to them.
That I read an article.
And I'm really impressed that you read an article.
And retained it to share on the show.
And you actually got it right. Yeah.
Thank you.
But yeah. Well, in the UK, that brings up the UK variant question, right? Where it's
right.
Now a prominent strain in the United States. And
one of the most, I think, or the most.
The most prominent strain.
Yeah. So there's that as well. So very true. So anyway, we'll go back to talking a little bit about the vaccines, of course. And again, if you can get vaccinated, do register. It's now open for everybody, 16 plus, you mentioned that, mm-hmm. As of this week. So that is good news. Again, as the state continues to roll them out. And again, the state is still going through their lists from the people who've registered on the website. So that is the place to do it, vaccinenm.org. And they will go through that list and get you vaccinated. In fact, I talked to some of my friends who weren't sure when they were going to get vaccinated and they had appointments already. So they were excited
that
they had gotten to them.
Yeah.
The phone number, again, if you need help to register or other questions about the system, 855-600-3453. Again, we repeat that for our radio audience, 855-600-3453. And so that is the number to call for support or to get help with vaccine registrations if there's someone maybe who doesn't have internet access or uncomfortable working online. They can call and they can get registered online. I know the library was helping folks do that on their computers, and a lot of other public computer spaces were being used to do that.
Yep.
For folks. So that is important. We want to point out the last what they're calling the last COVID vaccine drive-through with Care Drug is going to be happening on April 17th. That's a week from Saturday over in Aztec, 9 a.m. to noon. This is the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, so the one and done. And then for folks who'd gotten the Moderna vaccine earlier at another of the drive-through clinics, are going to get their second dose at this event as well.
Yes.
So that's what's happening.
Open, 18 years and older.
Open to everybody.
Open to everybody. And if you have insurance, bring that. But if you don't have insurance, you can still show up.
That's right. And this is going to be at Kugler Middle School, I believe, over at Liddy Rippey Road in Aztec.
Yeah.
So that's where this is happening. So Care Drug, thank you, Care Drug, for doing that. And again, you don't have to be registered. You can just, or if you're already registered and you want to just go show up and wait in line, they'll get you vaccinated.
Cool.
Is the plan. So that's what's going on. So we're grateful for that. Also, we want to point out the watch list. We haven't talked about the watch list in a while.
We haven't had any watch lists.
There have been no San Juan County businesses on the Environment Department's watch list, but there are this week. And so we will share that with you. The New Mexico Environment Department says that the Chili Pod restaurant downtown has had two rapid responses. Now, again, these are not cases, right? These are just responses to investigate cases at a business. Nijoni Elementary School in Shiprock also reporting two. And again, the rule is if you have more than four in a two-week period, then you are shut down. But there are no San Juan County businesses who have been shut down, which is good news.
Which is good news.
So, you know, these businesses are taking care of these things, and hopefully they will drop off of this watch list, but we'll keep tabs on it and make sure we report that back to you. So that's what's going on there.
Great.
Yeah. We are waiting for our guests, but as we do, tell us about the latest numbers from Johns Hopkins. Are there?
Yes. So United States confirmed cases are now at 30,923,522. United States confirmed deaths are now at 559,118.
Very good. Excellent. And again, the numbers are still kind of going up a little bit there. If we look at that yellow graph, we always do. But that is what we want to try to, again, keep sharing. And I'm messaging our guest who says that her call keeps going to voicemail. So,
well, I can share a very interesting story I read.
Okay.
Article reader that I am.
I won't sound as surprised as you did about me reading an article.
Yeah. So our mRNA technology, so the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines are groundbreaking, not just because they arrived on the scene extraordinarily quickly, but also because they are using brand new vaccine technology. How this works in a simple term is that that mRNA instructs your individual cells to create special protein, complex proteins, that then can hunt out these damaging cells and sort of eradicate it. So that's the idea. And so once it does that, it leaves your body. And so that's important to mention because people are reticent about the vaccine.
Right.
But once it does this job of building these protein blocks, it's done and you're good. This is huge because here are the other diseases that they can use this for. One is malaria, which is an incredibly damaging disease, incredibly hard to control. I was mentioning the ROI earlier. The malaria ROI is extraordinarily high. This disease kills about 500,000 children a year. It impacts women who are pregnant. It leads to more miscarriages, more stillbirths. Mm. Also, people who do recover from malaria tend to have, it's another long haul type illness. They tend to have complicating factors long after they've recovered.
Right.
Huge. It would be extraordinary to actually have an effective vaccine against malaria. At this time, we don't. We just have mosquito nets and we have some treatment drugs, therapeutic drugs, but we do not have a vaccine. HIV. Another huge problem, chronic problem that we've had. There's trials in the works to use this mRNA technology for an HIV vaccine. And then finally, cancer treatments, because the idea is that, you know, cancer is also an individualized disease, that your tumor is not the same as somebody else who has a similar cancer's tumor. It's specific to your body, that cell mutation. Same idea, that it would build these protein blocks. And what would be huge about it is that it would be, it's not preventing this development of cancer necessarily, but what it's doing is helping the treatment along, because it's going to go seek out those disruptive cells from creating other tumors in parts of your body. So metastasizing, it's going to keep from doing that.
Wow.
That's extraordinary.
Very much.
Yeah. So that is news on the vaccine front. And I mean, this is a classic example, right, of mother of invention, right? This necessity is the mother of invention. That's not even mentioning some other inventions that have come out of this, namely medical technology. We're rapidly producing PPE in a way that we never had before because we never needed to before.
Sure.
So, and which has led to other advancements in different types of medical technology. So not just PPE, but, you know, you're using plastics in different ways, et cetera. And then finally, drones, which I know that you like drones because you're a
love
nerd.
Drones.
Yeah. You're a drone fan. They've perfected the art of using drones en masse to deliver goods. They've perfected the art of making sure drones don't collide with each other as they deliver goods. So in the midst of this horrible time, I only share that news to say that there's some pretty optimistic stuff that's come out of it. So don't lose hope. And there's my little education bit.
Very good. That's cool. We're working to get our guest on the phone. That's what I'm doing over here.
Yeah.
Hey, Carmen, stand by.
Are you taking a phone call over there?
I am. But I'm calling our guest. And I did want to confirm that it is week 56.
Oh.
According to our calendar queen. So thank you very much.
She was
hoping to stop counting, but we're back to yellow, so we continue to count. which, which we do.
I mean, thank you for your service. Exactly. That's all I have
I know.
To say.
That's very true. So anyway, so let's go to our first guest.
Great.
Carmen Martinez, thank you. Our phones continue to send you to voicemail, and I don't know why, but we are glad that we have finally gotten you on the phone, Carmen Martinez, to talk a little bit
Good morning.
Some of the latest business assistance. And you, of course, are with the Small Business Development Center here at San Juan College. And so out of the latest stimulus package, wasn't there some more help for businesses?
Yes, that is correct. So we got $7.25 billion additional dollars for the Paycheck Protection Program. One of the things that got funded last time, the Shuttered Venue Operator Grant, finally opened today. So if anybody feels like they have a shuttered venue, please reach out. This was legislation that went into place December 27th. So that grant finally opened today, and we'll start accepting applications at noon. So with this new legislation, we have an additional $15 billion in economic injury disaster loans, as well as a brand new program for our restaurant industry. There's $28.6 billion for grants for our restaurants, which we are really excited about, and we will let our community know when that is available and being funded.
That's great news. I mean, I have two questions. One is, when you mentioned numbers in the billions, we're talking about on the federal level. So it would be interesting to hear what it means for us on a local level. How much of that chunk of change do we get? And then also, the last rollouts we've had, there have been deadlines for businesses. So why don't we speak to that?
Okay. So the Paycheck Protection Program, the one that the second wave we're calling it, because it was the second time it was given, is being funded still through May 31st. Originally, that was to shut down on March 31st, but we got that extended. There's still money in there, and it is open now to sole proprietors, one-person operations. It was really difficult in the first PPP offering, but now we have a lot better guidance. So if there are sole proprietors out there, with Schedule C or other type of tax returns, we are able to help. The amounts that they can receive are much more favorable this time around. So we are happy to answer questions on that and guide people through obtaining those funds.
Very good. Sure. And Carmen Martinez, I wanted to ask you, with folks who've maybe been applying with you for some of these programs, maybe they applied back when COVID first started. It's been now over a year, 56 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe they didn't succeed or weren't successful with their application earlier, but maybe should they try again? Because maybe some things have changed or different eligibility requirements. What would you say to those, maybe those businesses?
Yes, I would definitely try again. Like I said, the first time around was really murky. You know, they were making the rules as we went along, not that that's not still happening, but some of the rules are already in place. So we have a better understanding and can now actually assist people in a better way. You know, both the lenders as well as us are able to do that much better. So yes, please, if you are discouraged, I do apologize for that. When these new things get rolled out, we don't always have all the information. But yes, we are happy to guide you through the process and what your options are. Because people look, you know, at the PPP, the EIDL, different things, and they're like, well, but that's not for me. Well, let's look. Maybe there's something else out there that is available for your type of business that could help you.
Yeah, that's very good. I mean, that's such an amazing service for small business owners. Let's talk about qualifications. I mean, small business is a rather broad term. So is who qualifies for it? And like, do nonprofits qualify for it? Can you speak to that?
Yes. So during the second wave, which we are now, nonprofits qualify for it. So we have assisted several of those get funding that weren't eligible for before. And with the third wave, which has not opened yet, they're also saying that digital news services, we don't know the definition of that is yet, so they have expanded it even more for the new funding that became available March 11th. And again, we will stay updated on all that. And once those open, we will get that information out.
Good to hear. And Carmen, do you work with landlords at all? Is there any help for landlords? Because we hear a lot about maybe rent payments that are able to be maybe delayed and things like that. Is there anything that's coming through your office to help, not necessarily renters, but maybe the landlords who are left kind of trying to be helpful for their renters who are struggling, but they've got to pay their mortgage too. Anything for them?
There was a payments being made on mortgages, not on mortgages, but on real estate loans that were backed by the Small Business Administration. Remember, these are Small Business Administration funds. So if the mortgage on those buildings is not held by the SBA, there's less help. However, with the assistance that is coming out for renters, I'm hopeful that will be available, you know, trickle down to the landlords. As a business owner, if it is a business, then yes, they are eligible for the rest of these funds, the PPP and the EIDL. Are available to them as business owners.
Very good. Well, that's maybe good news, at least for them, to know that maybe help is available. And is there anything else you see coming down the pike, if you will, that folks should be watching for? I know, you know, this legislation was just passed not too long ago. And so, as you mentioned, you know, a lot of these agencies are learning as we go here and developing the rules and the qualifications as we go. And a lot of the information changes minute by minute, but is there anything else that you're watching for or learning about that people should be paying attention for?
Not at this point. The March 11th information, you know, of that American Rescue Plan Act, that is the latest that we have. We don't know, since the rest of the world is opening up, you know, we're back to yellow, like you mentioned earlier. We don't know what the future will hold as far as potential funding. So this is the last act so far that has addressed that.
Very good. Well, Carmen Martinez, as always, we love to have you on. We so appreciate all the hard work you guys are doing and keeping our businesses going.
Let's ask Carmen for her phone number before she goes.
That's right.
If folks would like to reach out to you and
please do that.
And get a hold of you, Carmen.
Yes. You can reach us one of two ways. Please give us a call, 566-3528, and we can assist you, or you can send us an email, sbdc@sanjuancollege.edu, and we will reply to you as well and get a time to connect with you.
Great. Thank you so much, Carmen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carmen Martinez. We appreciate it, from the Small Business Development Center here at San Juan College. And I believe our next guest is on the phone, and this should be Tanya Stinson.
Hello. Sorry.
That's okay.
You know, perfect timing.
Triple booking ourselves day.
Uh-oh. Well, I'm glad that you made some time for us, Tanya Stinson. We appreciate it. Of course, the executive director of the Farmington Convention and Visitors Bureau. And we wanted to talk a bit about, you know, travel. And, of course, up until yesterday, we were thinking about traveling, and maybe not so much anymore now that we're back into the yellow tier. But still, I think folks are starting to maybe make some plans and being hopeful that as things open up, we will be traveling again and things along that line. And so, Tanya, what can you tell us about what that means for individuals and what they should maybe prepare for?
Well, no matter where you live and while you're traveling, particularly with everything that's happened in the last year, it's just a good idea to check in advance for the area you're going to and make sure you understand any restrictions they may have. And then I always tell people, check right before you leave too, because as we can see, things can change quickly, but that way you're just prepared and you know how to best take care of yourself and respect the area you're going to and be able to enjoy what you're doing to the greatest capacity because you're prepared.
Sure. And it seems to me that the travel industry has really stepped up. We hear a lot of stories about the airline industry, the hotels, of course, for extra cleaning and things along that line. I mean, there are recommendations that they're all now following pretty closely, right?
Yes. Yes, they are. And, you know, if you're traveling and staying in a hotel, you have every right to call the hotel in advance and ask them, you know, what are your cleaning procedures? What are you following? How are you handling things? If that makes you feel more comfortable or helps you make a more informed decision about where you want to stay.
Very good. And what is our own town, what is Farmington doing to make traveling easier and safer for folks coming here?
Well, we follow the state guidelines and their mandates that they put out. Our office has been advocating to our businesses since last June, I believe it was, to participate in the Mexico Safe Certified program. It's an online class. It's free. You sign up. And we knew from the beginning, we said, this is probably going to factor into any type of reopening. And we saw pretty quickly it did, because hotels and restaurants that are safe certified, their occupancy levels have been higher. And when you read the red to turquoise framework, you can see that it breaks out into lodging and restaurants that are safe certified versus those aren't, and they have higher allowances tied to them. But it's not even just hospitality-related businesses that program's for. There's a wide variety, manufacturing and agriculture and call centers and just offices. I don't remember everything on there. Really quick and easy. Takes maybe 30 minutes. And just kind of walks you through the tips and things to be aware of so that you are handling your business in the most safe manner, you know, for your guests and for your employees.
Indeed. Well, and as you mentioned, the state is using that, right, as their part of their criteria under the red to turquoise system. And so it's important if folks want to open up more, if they're safe certified, they would be able to do that no matter what color you are in the county.
Right.
So there you go. And Tanya Stinson, we always hear too a little bit about maybe people that are thinking about traveling and are maybe wanting not to travel to really crowded places. And of course, we love our outdoor spaces here and our wide open spaces. So does San Juan County maybe have an advantage in its new post-COVID world?
I think so. We have so many great outdoor activities, and that's really been a draw for us in the past, but it actually is highlighted even more now. There's great things you can enjoy where that you can do it and see very few other people easily to socially distance and some of those things. If you're hiking the Vista, or you're out in the Glade or enjoying the lake, whatever that may be, great mountain biking trails. So that is nice for us. Those are things that we were ramping up to promote in greater fashion anyway. So the timing, you know, for that part is good. And people, you know, not very often. I think there's some people in life that are fun and adventurous, and they're like, oh, I just want to pack up and go away somewhere this weekend. But most people, they're planning their trips 60 to 90 days out. So that doesn't prevent any planning for right now, even with the changes yesterday. Still inspiring, planting seeds, showing people as they make their plans that this is a great option to come here.
Right, right. And any advice before we let you go, any advice about folks maybe who are a little hesitant about getting on a plane, you know, sitting next to somebody who they don't know or it's not from their family, or on a bus or a train or, you know, whatever the case may be, public transportation, of just how to be safe and be protected and be cautious?
Sure. So, I mean, again, you can research your airline. Some of them are still handling things different than others. But I know all of them, when you get on the plane, and they're requiring a mask. They hand you your own kit so that, you know, you're not reaching. They give you the water up front. They give you the hand sanitizer, the little packets, so you can wipe down your area, even though that they have different protocols. Some of them wipe down or spray the plane in between each time. So, you know, I think just it almost is the same no matter what you're doing. Just make sure you have your things that you follow. Make sure you're well-equipped, that you have sanitizer and things that make you feel comfortable, your mask, you have those types of things with you. Be aware. And I do think that it's all possible. We see that happening. And you even see the airlines are having increased gating and enplanements, and people are feeling more comfortable, especially with the vaccine rollout, right? I think that's really given people another level of comfort.
I agree.
Very good. Well, Tanya Stinson, thank you so much for joining us and giving all that valuable insight.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having us on. Anytime. We appreciate you.
You bet. Thank you very much, Tanya. That's Tanya Stinson from the Convention and Visitors Bureau, our guest this morning here on KSJE. And we wanted to pass along, of course, the other info that we've been compiling. Of course, our website updates every day with the latest numbers. Of course, it was interesting, the state and the Navajo Nation took the Easter weekend off in reporting daily numbers. So things were a little bit backed up by Monday, but now they're back to daily reports, so we appreciate that. And so we can see 222 new cases reported in New Mexico yesterday for a total of 192,989. San Juan County had 17 more cases, and that is troubling because that's why we're now in yellow, not in turquoise anymore with those higher cases. New Mexico deaths, there were 3, none of them in San Juan County, and another 71 recoveries for a total of 174,409. So that's the important thing to think about there. From
yes.
that page. Other news stories we want to pass along, and then we'll get to our next guest this morning. That would be, you can see there, we've got the yellow, back to yellow, on the latest COVID-19 map. The California COVID-19 variant that's been confirmed on the Navajo Nation in a test that came back from there. The daily numbers, and then the daily numbers from the Navajo Nation. They had 16 new cases yesterday for a total of 30,198. And 0 additional deaths on the Navajo Nation, so we're so grateful for that as well. But their numbers have been declining as well, which is helpful.
Yeah,
we want to see it in that going in that same direction.
That's right. There was a big story in the New York Times about the Navajo Nation, and
you shared that with me.
Yeah,
exactly.
The success
and the turnaround,
is there.
Right? The big turnaround
big success.
It was for I remember many weeks we were talking about the scary numbers coming from the reservation, but they are much improved, which we're grateful for. So let me go to our next guest, shall we? Going back to the phones, Jim Walton is with the New Mexico Department of Health, and he is on the phone with us now this morning. Mr. Walton, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for being with us to talk about this new app for the state of New Mexico. It's called New Mexico Notify, and I guess give us the idea behind the app, Mr. Walton, is to try to track infections of people that may have been come in contact with folks who are COVID positive. Is that the idea?
Yeah. So one of the things that we decided up front is we had almost like a swear jar. We're not going to use the word track because it actually doesn't track where you are, what you're doing, or any of that. What it does do is it will notify you or if you are within distance of someone who has tested positive for COVID-19. How it does that is with Bluetooth technology. You activate this on your phone, and I'll activate it on mine, and you and I are standing at the grocery store. I'm within 6 feet for 15 minutes. They've got a lot of price checks to do. So we're pretty close to each other, and we hit that 15-minute mark. We're going to trade a token, and that token is then stored in your phone for 2 weeks. Once I get tested, maybe I'm even asymptomatic, I don't even know, and yet I've been, you know, warned that I've been exposed to COVID-19, so I get tested, and I get a verification code from NM Notify, and I upload that to the app, and anybody that I've been around for the last 14 weeks within 6 feet or 15 minutes is going to receive a notification that they've been exposed to COVID-19.
Got it.
So
Yeah. So I apologize for using that word, and I'll send you $5 for your swear jar.
there you go.
But I apologize. But I think it's important, and words are important too, because I think folks do get a little maybe concerned about privacy and things like that by having this app on their phone. And I know one of the things I think you've been very clear about is that it doesn't get any access to your name or your location or your personal data, and I think that's an important point to make.
Yes, it's completely anonymous. It's private. The 4-digit code that you have, you only had that same code for between 7 and 15 minutes. It's constantly changing. So there's no way if someone were to hack into this system, all they would get is millions of 4-digit numbers. That's it. That's all that's there. So the cryptography on this is state-of-the-art.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I just have a clarifying question as I try to wrap my head around this because it's so new and interesting.
I'm waiting for you to use the term nerd out.
Yeah, well, I do like to nerd out.
Yeah.
But it sounds like Jim also likes to nerd out. So when I get the verification code, I have to take the initiative to upload it into the app, right?
That's right.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that that's like an extra step. It doesn't automatically upload it. So, I mean, that's important to know.
No. And that decision is yours. Again, you have control over this. You can turn it on and off when you want. You can, if you don't want it on anymore, you can go ahead and eliminate it from your phone. All the codes will be erased. Everything will be erased. There's nothing left. So if there's some reason you want to turn it off, you can. And another big question we get is battery usage. It uses very minimal battery usage. So I've had it on my phone for, since we launched, which would have been towards the end of March. I haven't noticed a difference in my battery usage at all.
Well, that's good. Well, I imagine it's not,
a little bit, yeah.
As you mentioned, it's using Bluetooth, and that's a pretty low impact system, I would say, on a cell phone. So, and this is compatible and available for Android and Apple iPhones, correct?
It is. So on your iPhone, it's pretty simple. You just go into settings off of your home screen and scroll down to exposure notifications, tap on that, and it'll take you from there. It just wants to know your state, your region. So it'll ask you if you live in the United States. Yep. And New Mexico. Yep. Now, the cool thing is we've got to get our friends in Arizona on board, but Utah's on board with this same app and Colorado's on board with this same app. So there is interoperability. Try saying that a few times fast. That interoperability means that crossing state lines between Colorado and Utah, that the app is still going to be working. Arizona hasn't launched and Texas hasn't launched. So as far as our other close neighboring states, it doesn't look like Texas is going to do anything, and Arizona is still trying to decide what they're going to do.
But that's important for folks in our area, Mr. Walton, of course, because we are, you know, half an hour, 50 minutes away from Colorado. So I think that's important for folks who live or maybe work in both states or a family or what have you. So I think that's an important thing to know. And so just to be clear, there's nothing to download for our phones, or there is in some cases. There's an app to download or no?
So there is an app to download on your Android
phone.
On your Android, you got to go to the App Store, put in NM Notify, and a little logo will come up that's the shape of the state of New Mexico, and it's navy blue. Tap on that, and it'll take you from there.
Great. And another clarifying question. So when I get a notification like, you've been exposed, and does it sends me instructions like, probably should go get tested, here's some places to do that, or like, how detailed is it when it says that I've been exposed?
It actually is pretty detailed. So, and if you have any other questions, you certainly can go to nmnotify.com. There's a great video there on how the system works, and also a lot of resources on what to do when I test positive. So, you know, of course, we want to quarantine first, get your test. Then if you're positive, then you want to isolate for 14 days. And the other nice thing about this is it's going to give you a rough idea of when you were exposed. So it may say you were exposed on Tuesday between, say, 6 and 9 or 6 and 10. And then that way you can figure out your incubation period and when you should go get tested. So if you're around 4 days from that, and you're not feeling any symptoms, it's like, oh, gosh, I hope I'm not asymptomatic. Let's go get tested. Or if you're only a day away from that, then you might say, okay, I'm going to wait a couple of days before I get tested.
Right. And so the main focus and point of this, Mr. Walden, is that we really want to continue to track the spread of the infections, right? And again, to let folks know, because of these asymptomatic cases, it's very hard to know. If you're not feeling sick, it's hard to know that you are sick and you could be inadvertently spreading this around. And so this app then I would think would help to take care of that, or at least let us know if one of those people you've been in contact with is positive, and they can let you know, and then you would find out, be tested the same way.
Yeah, so there's two things about this, well, three things that I love about this app. First of all, the privacy is fantastic. It's perfect. You're completely private and anonymous. The other thing is that I like the fact that it can identify people that you've been around that you don't know. So a contact tracer wouldn't be able to help you in this situation. It'd be, well, I was at Target and waiting, and there was a guy behind me who wore a cowboy hat. That doesn't do the contact tracer any good. But if you both had NM Notify on your phone, you'd trade that token. And so I think that that's a very important part of this. And the other part of this that I love is the fact that we can identify someone who's asymptomatic and stop the spread there. That's a huge deal. That is a really big speed bump in this, because in trying to stop the spread is identifying somebody who's spreading and they don't know it. And this is a way to stop that. So, you know, the big saying for us is stop the spread. And that's what this does.
That's right. Well, this is amazing technology. We know it's already on our iPhones. We just have to go in and turn it on. We can go to the App Store on Android and download it. And personally, this was really helpful to me because I was worried about the whole private data. They're going to have my name. What are they going to know? And how long this token going to be around? And so it's very helpful to hear your explanations, Jim. It's groundbreaking stuff, and we're so appreciative that you came on and shared it with us.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. And, you know, we need to spread the word on this because it is, you know, like I heard while I was waiting, is the variants are here. And some of these variants, I was reading an article myself, these are pretty scary. They were talking about a couple of the variants that if they merge, that this could be disastrous. So this is just one more tool in our toolbox, along with social distancing, wearing a mask, and getting tested, getting your vaccine, and download NM Notify.
Very, very true. Well, and here in San Juan County, we were very excited to be in turquoise for a few weeks, and now we're back to yellow, and so it is still spreading in our community, so we know that. So this is maybe one way to catch it and stop it from spreading.
Yep.
So
exactly. Yeah, let's get this thing.
There you go. Mr. Walden, thank you very much from the Department of Health. We appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you all. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a good afternoon. Thank you very much. That's Jim Walden from the New Mexico Department of Health, our guest this morning here on KSJE. And so as we wrap up the program, Megan Cullip, we have a few other things to share. Let me kind of scroll back to them here. As we mentioned, some of the news stories that we saw, of course, the testing is still happening out at McGee Park for COVID tests. And so that continues. And we just always share that every week at curative.com to register online and head out to McGee Park for the testing areas. The other things we wanted to mention as well, there is another food box distribution from the Echo Food Bank continuing in various communities in our county. One of them is happening today at the Huerfano Chapter House. It started at 9 o'clock. That is happening out at the Huerfano Chapter House this morning. There's another one going on this afternoon on April 8th, and then again on April 22nd at the Blanco Elementary School. Echo Food Bank, another food bank distribution at the elementary school, as I mentioned. And then at Ngizi, that is happening in a couple of weeks, actually, Thursday, April 22nd at 9 a.m., and that will be at the Ngizi Chapter House, another food box distribution from the Echo Food Bank. So some more information to
good.
Pass along with
very
that.
Good.
So there you go. And I think that's our show.
That's our show. It's jam-packed.
Another big show.
Great information out there. And
exactly. We appreciate everybody sharing with us and sharing the show. If you thought it was useful information, please share it with your friends and neighbors. And again, we appreciate everyone just wearing their masks, distancing.
That's right.
Doing the right thing so we can get back to turquoise and maybe
your part.
Yeah. And maybe
please do.
Yeah. As this thing hopefully peters out over the summer. Like to report that.
We would like to report that. And I think we should challenge each other to sign up for New Mexico Notify, little co-host accountability.
Hey.
What do you think?
I'm there.
Cool.
Did you do it on your, is that what you were doing on your phone during the show?
I was receiving dispatches from other community organizations.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Right. Well, let's do it. After the show, we're going to set it up.
We should do it. It's
okay.
Simple.
Yeah,
so
it is.
Thanks to Jim Walton for that clarifying information.
Indeed. We appreciate it very, very much. So, and thank you all for joining us. Again, we appreciate you all. And thank you for supporting public radio in San Juan County. Until next week, everyone, have a great Thursday and stay well. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.